When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Diddly-loop. What?
You're doing your own music. Diddly-loop.
Diddly-loop.
Breaking news, I think, ish, which is a new tea towel from Nikki Haslam, one of our favourite things. Even more things Nikki Haslam finds common. Should I read some of my favourite ones?
When you say breaking news?
Yeah. Well, Simon Conway just sent a picture of it to me, and Simon Conway is actually a very, very, like, on it with kind of news and stuff.
Did we do the things he finds common? We did, didn't we?
I think this is now the third or perhaps fourth tea towel he's done.
This is the fourth one. But the third one which I wrote about, that was, we podded that, didn't we?
We podded that as well. But just as a kind of,
yeah,
you know.
Fine, let Nikki Haslam get some laughs for us.
Even more things Nikki Haslam finds common. I think the ones I like the most are...
Long pauses by radio presenters. Painted fingernails.
Saying us instead of us. I like that one a lot. Loud laughter. I've got the loudest laugh in the world,
yeah.
So I've got to stop doing that.
Nikki, think you're
Soho House, which is, yeah.
That's very funny.
Swimming with dolphins, excellent.
If you haven't got a posh house of your own, you have to go to Soho House. Show me them.
Across the pond.
Yes, but across the pond is just, that's a horrible journalist.
Across the pond.
Gosh, look, he's looking like George Orwell at the moment. Baby showers, being teetotal. Absolutely. Asuline, what is that?
The only thing I can think of Asuline is Roxanne Asuline, who's a designer, but he can't possibly mean Roxanne Asuline.
You see signs around. I think it's a designer. I just think it's funny because it's Asuline.
Asuline. Yeah. Well, no, she's an American designer.
Drag. That's funny. Richard Osman. Vegetables from our garden.
Which is, we are very guilty.
Jiggling your knee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People who jiggle their knee. It's interesting. He thinks it's common because normally he thinks things that are border on middle class are common, whereas I think jiggling your knee is like well common, like it's right down. Jiggling right. Your knee. If people are too thick, they're so stupid that their brain doesn't sort of turn over, so they can't be sure they're alive unless they jiggle their foot, mm-hmm. because thinking doesn't really happen. Is that right? Celebrity ambassadors, award ceremonies.
He's just always.
Or do you suggest that I would do another?
No, I'm not suggesting, not for your columns, just for general amusement. We very rarely break any stories. And I'm not even sure that I've broken this story. I think probably lots of people on Instagram have seen this before they'll hear it on the podcast.
Did you see that the person who won the Oldie of the Year, so it was a story that the Queen turned down the Oldie of the Year award, which I was invited to yesterday and didn't go because you and I wanted to have lunch.
Amazing, amazing PR move from
the
Oldie.
So the two people who turned down the Oldie lunch were me and the Queen, although I do like the Oldie, and Camilla went. But they said the person who they did give it to was Leslie Caron. And Nikki Haslam invited me to go and have Bloody Marys with Leslie Caron.
My goodness,
about 2 months ago, and we couldn't go because we weren't in the country.
It could have been another oldie scoop.
It could. I think we've gone down a blind alley with this one.
Okay.
I'm not sure he's even got a pre-title.
You mentioned a very, very good story, which is the Queen turned down the Oldie of the Year award because she's too young.
Yes.
So obviously your column is, how do you know when you're actually old?
Ew. Well,
one
can always tell.
Yes,
one is old because one's morning boner is not as firm as it was in the days, the glorious days of the Commonwealth. Also, I have to get up 9 times in the night to have a fucking pee.
So how do you know if you're really old? You wrote a not for your column, but when we were doing Staying at Home with the Corrins in the magazine, you wrote about being old.
Did I?
Yeah, you wrote about how lockdown's made you old.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very good. You could eviscerate that, even though I know you pride yourself.
Eviscerate it?
Yeah.
Tear its guts out?
Yeah, I mean, like, pick bits from the inside and, like, recycle it. I know you're a bit short on time at the moment, what with all your filming and writing and broadcasting commitments.
Do you know, I've realised that the last 9 intros I've written to columns is how busy I am. I'm sorry, this column's a bit shit, but I'm so busy.
Imagine what it's like living with you, telling you that all the time.
People have to pay to read me complaining that I'm too busy to do this
thing. There's other things in there that they pay for as well.
There's nothing more boring than people who claim to be busy all the time.
Yes, and that's you.
Is
it? Sorry, yes. Hmm. Well, actually, about 8 years ago, I screamed at you in this very kitchen, stop telling me how busy you are. And you've done it a lot less ever since. But for example, I would say something like, what do you want for dinner? And you'd literally like smack your face with both hands and say, how can you expect me to answer a question like that when I'm alive and I've got work to do?
I did that this very morning. I don't know. I've got to finish that restaurant review. I've got to go upstairs and get cherry juice.
I've got to go upstairs and get
cherry
juice.
Sorry, I've got to go up the road to the shops and get cherry juice.
Oh, yes.
How do you know you're old? What, yes?
So this is interesting, isn't it?
What, the cherry juice?
Why do you have to go up the road to the greengrocers to get cherry juice?
I don't know. Do you know why, Ben? Can you guess? Look.
Ben, what?
Can you guess?
What complaint?
Don't give me any clues. But why, Ben, have I got a thing of cherry juice?
And it's not cystitis.
No, my vag is moist as you like. It's cranberry juice you have with it.
My God, the lack of information both of you have about how female jingy-jingy works.
Sore vag? What is cystitis then?
Sore vag.
What is it? It's like a lack of...
I absolutely definitely know what it is.
It's like burning...
Cystitis is...
You don't know, do you? It's when it hurts to wee.
I do.
So it's like gonorrhea.
No, it's a urinary tract infection. It's got nothing to do with moistness. Moisturosity. And it's cranberry juice, not cherry juice. You're supposed to be a married man. You're supposed to know these things.
Well, do you know what the cherry juice is for? It genuinely works to cure a complaint that I have, which I believe has never been raised on this podcast before. I am a sufferer from gout.
Sorry.
Fuck off. Sorry. First of all, Nicky Haslam says that loud laughter is common, and he's right.
Oh my God, he is so right.
So one of my reasons is I'm also busy, but I'm also struggling from gout. And I got an attack of gout a week ago, just before travelling to the UAE to film my show. And I haven't had an attack for about 2 years. And it's you get it in the joint at the base of your big toe, and it's inflamed, and it's really painful to walk. And it's because I've got high levels of uric acid, which I discovered when I was doing a supersizer show with Sue 15 years ago, and I went to have these sort of pre-tests, and he said, oh, you've got very high, this quack in Harley Street, put a high propensity to gout. And he said, it's 400 parts per minute, you're basically running on piss. So I've got lots of uric acid.
Which makes perfect sense to anyone who knows you well.
And what happens is that it crystallizes in the joints and causes great pain. And it's the way in the path that I've managed to get rid of it was to drink lots of water to try and dilute the piss crystals between my joints, and also you drink loads of cherry juice and take loads of aspirin. But I went to the film in the UAE to the desert.
Well, you just sweated for a week.
Sweat and you dehydrate, so that you're basically your pee, whatever time of the day, it's 50 degrees in the shade.
Why aren't you more brown? Because it was too hot to sit in the sun.
Too hot to sit outside, and it's sort of weird evil sun that doesn't make you go brown.
Oh,
it is weird because I did sunbathe a bit.
It's weird evil sun that doesn't make you go brown.
Yeah.
Strange.
It's very weird. And your pee is always brown because you're so dehydrated anyway, so I've got really bad gout. So I bought lots of cherry juice. I could write about that.
You want to write about your gout again?
Have I written about it before?
Labour shortages, okay? So we're missing fruit pickers.
So I did that literally a fortnight ago.
Did you?
I literally did... I can't remember, but I did. It was like really
sure?
popular. It was 2 weeks ago. It was. I did the shortages thing. It was.
No, you didn't. You did the burglars thing.
No, the week before.
Did I not read your? Oh my God! Did I not read your column? What was your point?
There's never a point.
Okay, there's another story here. You do a story.
What about the one that I saw this morning about Facebook rebranding as the metaverse?
Oh, is that what that story is? I have heard metaverse being.
Do you know what a metaverse is?
Is it like no? I don't know. It doesn't sound like anything good, I've got to say. It sounds
What it does sound to most people is it sounds like something out of a Marvel comic. It sounds like alternative universes.
Spider-Man into the multiverse. That's
yes,
what I
exactly.
think of. Which was a brilliant film and I enjoyed it very much, but I don't really want
exactly. It to be my life. So the word metaverse is made up of the prefix meta, meaning beyond, I think we know that, and the stem verse, blah, blah, blah. The term is typically used to describe the concept of a future iteration of the internet, made up of a persistent shared 3D virtual space linked into a perceived virtual universe. The metaverse, in a broader sense, may not only refer to virtual world, but the internet as a whole, including the entire spectrum of augmented reality. So Zuckerberg is saying, Facebook, it needs to be rebranded.
Facebook. I think Facebook. title of my next novel. Facebook.
Do you know there's nothing funny to say about it apart from Facebook. He's going to rebrand Facebook with Facebook. First of all, it just sounds like it's something from Warwickshire. We've got you've got on a Facebook. No, and Facebook is obviously for the Burks. Facebook is how you get it's like a dating app for Burks.
Yeah.
So that's not very funny. But it's like, but there's also, oh, I don't know. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you see the thing about names and babies' names?
I did.
And did you see the thing about how the names Carol and Nigel officially no longer exist?
There's more people called Penis than there are called Nigel. Okay. How many is it? There's more people called what?
It has to be fewer than 3 babies registered with a name for it to be functionally non-existent.
There are more Lucifers. I thought not
That's
penises.
Right. Okay. But how about the name Giles? You're always super funny about the trials and tribulations of being called Giles.
Oh, you mean I should get out one of my old columns about being called Giles
exactly.
And just revivify it? What was your word you said? Eviscerated.
Eviscerate an old column. It's like that guy on the street who used to call you Grant because you couldn't really cope.
Have I never told that story? The old Don, the electrician who lived next door to me when I first moved into this road. This road, which has been subject to semi-gentrification. It's a changing road in sort of old-fashioned white working class Kentish town. And it's got posher, but it's still got a lot of council houses on it. And it had more when I lived here. And next door was Don the Sparks. And the first time I met him, it was in 1993, I'd moved in. He came around and said, good morning. You're new here. Do you want to come around a cup of tea? And I went around for a cup of tea. He said, I'm Don. I'm a Sparks. And I phoned up my dad and said, Daddy, the man next door says he's a Sparks. What does that mean? And my father, who grew up in a very poor area, said, it means he's an electrician's son. I went, oh, really? Do you think he can come around and mend my lights? And anyway, I went around and said, all right, Don. Hi, Don, I'm Giles. And he said, all right, Grant, nice to meet you. And I went, yeah, no, it's Giles. All right, Grant. Fine. I said, and then
I've heard him do this.
You've heard me go,
I've heard him on the street go, all right, Grant.
All right, Grant. And I'd walk around and I'd say, all right, Grant. And in those days, I would have lots of people come back to my house after the pub and we'd be sort of sitting around and mine sort of having a few drinks. Then people would go, and because I went into a side passage to the house, I used to walk them out onto the street and stand there sort of smoking a ciggy and sort of chatting to my friends, either from Westminster or Oxford or possibly the Times, standing in the street. And then Don would come tottering up the road with his dog, Killer, he wasn't called Killer. And Don was a lovely man. He'd come back from the Tally Ho, where he used to, which was a pub that doesn't exist anymore. And Don used to have his tea at 5 o'clock every day and go down and drink 7 pints of the Tally Ho and come tottering back singing My Old Man's a Dustman and with his dog on the chain. And I'd be standing out there sort of smoking a cigarette with you know, someone called Tarquin, who was at my college at Oxford.
Yeah.
And Don would go, evening, Grant. And I'd go, evening, Don. And my friend Quentin would go, when have we just called you? Grant. Yeah, this is a long story. And it even happened when my sister, who was already then quite famous, was sort of, I was showing her out of the door, and Don came toddering back and said, evening, Grant. And I muttered to my sister, he's coming up, he thinks I'm called Grant, okay, so just don't, when he says something, don't say anything. And he went, hello, Grant. I went, hello, Don. He went, hello, Grant. And then my sister went, hello, I'm Grant's sister, Victoria. and he went, hello, Grant's sister. And there was, and eventually one of my mates said, why is he calling you Grant? I said, look, Don, he kept calling me Giles, whoever it was, saying, bye, Giles, see you later. I went, bye, yes, yeah. And he went away, and Don said, why is that bloke calling you Giles? And I said, oh, it's interesting, because I've got two names. I'm called Grant Giles. And like when I was at university, people used to call me Giles, but it's reverted to Grant. All right, night, Grant. And then Don had sadly died. And I'm very sad that he died, and he was a lovely and wonderful man. But there is now nobody left in the world who thinks I'm called Grant. Yeah. So it's sort of simplified, a bit like the multiverse, which is what they have to do to kill off superheroes.
You no longer have to be Grant, you can just be Giles.
But and what I realised was that, and it's a whole wider point about gentrification, which is that when I moved in, I was one of the first posh people to move into. Roger Lloyd Pack was already here, but he's not that famous, not that posh. So I was one of the first people, poshos, to buy a flat and move in here. And when I introduced myself to Don as Giles, he just thought, he can't have said that.
Yeah.
He can't have said Giles. Nobody's called Giles. He must have said Grant.
Yeah.
And every time I said Giles, he just went, he must have said Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But then there's all sorts of other funny stuff about being called Giles. Like when you went to play snooker and you wrote your name down as Charles.
No, not Charles.
Charles
was when I was sort of 17 and just going out to the pubs in London, and you'd be chatting to someone, like you'd trying to chat to a girl or something, and she'd go, what's your name, love? And you go, it's Giles. Charles? No, Giles. Charles? No, it's Giles. Giles. Charles? And eventually you go, I'm really not getting laid here. This is not happening. And you say, yeah, okay, it's Charles. No. However, at other times, pubs down in Camden or Archway, where I used to go and play pool, where there's a chalkboard. So everyone writes their name up on the chalkboard to get on the table, and you play for money. And I was quite good. And you'd put your money on the table, put a fiver on the table or a tenner on the table, and then you play for the money. And you'd put your name up if you were next on the list. And I remember going over, the first time I went over, and it sort of said Kev, Bill, Knuckles, and then I'd write Giles. And so I just used to write Steve.
Right.
But that also happens now in Starbucks. I don't go that often, but they ask you your name for the coffee, and they put it at the end, and they write it on the thing, and they go, "What's your name?" And I go, "Giles," and they go, "What? Char? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah?" And they go, "I say, well, it's like, oh, Giles, yeah, no, it's Giles. It's a, can you just put Bob?"
Yeah,
and then they write Bob on the thing, and then you're standing there and wondering, "Where's my fucking coffee?" And you hear someone going, "Bob, Bob's coffee," and you go,
"Well, no one's called Bob either. No one's called Bob either, but really, no one's called Esther."
Yeah.
And no one's called Giles. And Esther, I cannot think. I mean, Esther is very popular in certain communities.
Mm-hmm.
But Esther is not ever going to catch on as a kind of wider name. It's just not. Esther's just not a cute name.
But things go in circles. My sister called her daughter Barbara largely because she felt no one else is called Barbara because it's from an era that doesn't work yet.
She arrived at school and there are other Barbaras.
No, I think Barbara remains unique, but Barbara will appear at some point. I was noticing, just funny, because I'm noticing Muhammad at 5, and my very first thought when I saw that was, oh, that's nice, because people are so integrated that people have started calling their kids Muhammad, until I realised, obviously, this Muslim kid, people who are calling their kids Muhammad, but I just suddenly thought it was catching on in a sort of fashionable way. I also noticed, interestingly, that there are no Muhammad is there, it's like a solid name, lots of Muslim kids called Muhammad, so it's going to like always be there while the Noahs and the Arthurs and the Harrys and the Archies are kind of circulating around it. There isn't an equivalent name in the girls' list. The girls' lists are all soppy. Olivia, Amelia, Isla, Ava, Mia, Ivy, Lily, Isabella, Rosie and Sophia. That is 10 Edwardian prostitutes.
Yeah.
And
but no Kitty. Yes.
Much ado on TikTok for Best of the Bard. All the... I can't bear to read out the intro, but... it's the... What is it? It's the 400th anniversary of the publication of the first folio. Which is the first collection of all the 36 plays, apart from Pericles, I think, which is the 37th. And the RSC is celebrating it. No doubt the RSC says its acting artistic director, Erica Wyman... sister of Bill, probably not. So no doubt the RSC and our partner theatres will pick some of these stories up and produce fully, but there will be online manifestations. There may be plays for TikTok. Shakespeare on TikTok.
Yeah, if you actually knew anything about TikTok, then
I thought you were going to say Shakespeare. I know a lot about Shakespeare.
Yeah, I know.
TikTok is where
bougie
girls dance. It's that thing, there's nothing on it except people doing the same dance. Is that right? Everyone's walking along and they suddenly stop and then they all do a dance move.
I no longer visit Instagram or TikTok. So I'm not quite.
I look at those Instagram reels and it's just there's nothing else about TikTok.
Dancing, yeah.
And everyone says it's the most influential thing in the whole world. And the reason that Squid Game is the biggest show in the world is because of TikTok and stuff. But really, it's synchronized dancing.
There's a lot of synchronized dancing, yeah.
So, like, how would you put Shakespeare on TikTok? Would you have, like, the special Pericles dance and the Hamlet dance?
Well, I mean, how would you incorporate the look? I mean, I wonder how you would incorporate the...
Endlessly describing small 15-second dances in a newspaper could be boring, you say?
Well, no,
I just...
What dance would you do for Hamlet? I don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
So Shakespeare TikTok plays, not funny because the whole thing is TikTok is only TikTok and I can't write a column. It's eating itself a little bit about describing a dance that I did to...
Well, you'd have to actually look at... Have these actually been... Have these plays
I don't
been,
know.
Well, have the plays actually been translated onto TikTok yet?
I've just written Shakespeare on TikTok /social.
I just can't, I just can't stand the thing when they go, you know, Shakespeare plays in a tweet. The reduced Shakespeare company was very funny. I never saw it, but I saw some of it and it was, it's just like, look, the whole point of like Ulysses, which I've never read by the way, or all of Shakespeare, most of which I haven't read either, is that it's quite complicated and long and you have to pay attention to it.
But you've seen a lot of TikTok, that's why we come together. Because I've read the whole of literature and you've diddled about on TikTok.
No, but it just makes...
Okay, fine. Speaking of Ulysses...
So cringy.
Speaking of Ulysses...
Have you read Ulysses?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
Stately, plump Buck Mulligan.
What?
Those are the first four words.
Oh, really?
And the last words is yes, I said yes, yes.
Oh, I know that.
And all the words in between, I may or may not have read. No, I did.
But who's going to test you on
Easter 1991. Easter holidays, 6 weeks.
You read Ulysses.
Everyone else went away and sort of did drugs and had sex and went on holiday. Yeah. And I read Ulysses every last
and
word.
So, and you are going to...
I'm going to turn it to account now.
Exactly.
With this story in the Times... I really did read it, and parts of it are good, but it's long.
It's so lost in all the other bits of it that aren't good.
Real life watch from Ulysses chimes with Joyce fans. Fantastic work there from the subs to come up with that headline. First, it was Winnie the Pooh's Poo Sticks Bridge. You remember that was sold for like a lot, like £125,000.
Did it go to America?
No, it went to some crazy toff in England, which is fine, who reconstructed it, and it's the first bridge that Poo Sticks was played on. The 18-carat gold pocket watch. And you thought, wait a minute, it's a novel. How can there be a watch from it? But there was a real... The watch was owned by John O'Connor. And he appears in the book along with his watch. It's to be sold at an upper estimate of £80,000. So Leopold Bloom, you'll be aware, spends a day walking around Dublin.
Dublin,
so does Stephen Dedalus, and their paths sort of cross. And it's real Dublin, and real people are mentioned in it.
Okay, right.
So he was the superintendent of Dublin's, I can't pronounce it, Glasnevin. Glasnevin, that's Scottish. Shut up, Charles, cut that bit out. Dublin, I don't know. Anyway, Glasnevin Cemetery. And he makes an appearance in Ulysses. And so this watch is mentioned in Ulysses, so they're going to spend £80,000. And it says here in the Times...
Someone's dug up his watch. And just flung it in an auction house.
The forthcoming sale at Bonhams may be seen as confirming a new trend of sales of real objects from the world of fiction.
Okay.
That's right. What we call...
Real object.
Someone out there thought I might have a column to write this week, and he wrote the sentence, a trend of sales of real objects from the world of fiction.
Real objects from the world of fiction makes me think that Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook multiverse in the 3D metasphere is here.
Sorry, but look, it's... I've thought of...
Are you going to put the two together?
No, I'm going to do the... But I'm going to be the auctioneer.
Okay.
So it's like, it's right, an auction. Right. And it's ladies and gentlemen, lot one. Right. Is this a dagger I've seen before me? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is. And your first lot for £150,000 is the very dagger from Macbeth, the one that appears right here. Pass it round, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely golden crusted thing with a tool, you know, that kind of thing. Do I hear 50? Do I hear 70? Mr. Macduff in the corner. Is that bank? Oh, it's a ghost. Stuff like that. Joking.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God. Yes, I think that's going to work.
Do you think that's going to work?
Okay, we need to. What objects? Okay, what fun objects?
Yes, exactly. Yorick's skull. Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him. I'm going to sell you Yorick's skull for £150,000, starting whatever. I thought about the handkerchief that Othello gives to Desdemona that she drops, and it ends up being the whole...
That's right.
It's covered in... Lovely, covered in strawberries.
Yes.
Could make you... I don't know. Other ones that... I thought that I had some other ones. What about all the...
Cinderella's pumpkin carriage. No.
That doesn't work because it's magic.
Oh.
No, but it's a nice thought. Glass slipper. But I mean, that's a fairy tale. I love how when you're racking your brain for some major literature, you come on with Cinderella. It's a cartoon version with mice in it. How about Oliver Twist porridge bowl? Ooh, bit of porridge left inside.
But wait. This is melting my brain.
Yes.
This is frying my noodle. These are fictional things.
Yes. Because fiction is fiction and you can't really buy the things. And my wider point, do you want to know what my wider point is?
What?
My wider point is that, you know, my relative contempt for art. I mean, not for the conception
contempt.
And the... Well, my contempt for art.
Total contempt.
It's not the conception and the execution of art that upsets me. It's the fact that it's just a way for Russian billionaires and billionaires of all stripes to launder their money. You go to an art party at, you know, the Louvre, and it's all people head to toe Chanel and these gangsters, moles. And what's it? That Roman Abramovich's girlfriend, the art collector Zucker Dolozhnikov or whatever she's called. You know, they're not actually art collectors. They're people with billions of pounds. Oh, this is nice. Look good on wall. I buy. How much? 10 million. You know, and this is what art has become, and people, art is a thing that people can own. It's all massively commodified, all that Damien has. And the thing about literature is so frustrating for these thick bastards with billions of pounds, they can't own literature. They buy the folios, people like that. So we were just talking about Shakespeare's folio. People will buy, I buy first edition, how much? Is only 25 grand, what is point? I want expensive, I want Bible, I want copy of Bible. They're not all Russians, they could be other things, but if I do other accents, it might be a bit sort of xenophobic, whereas Russians, who cares? And so they want to, I want to buy Dagger from Macbeth. I want to buy train, the Runover and the Karenina. Mm. I want to buy actual thing. I want to buy what else example? They don't have to be
what
Russian.
Else example? Other well, it's interesting you say that. James Marriott wrote a very good piece a couple of months ago about how he used to work in an antique bookstore place, and about how the people who want to buy antique books aren't actually interested in books or literature or reading. That's why I faintly look down and despise people who fetishize the book in any form that isn't on. I think if you're really interested in books and you really like reading, you have a Kindle. People are like, oh, I like the feel and the smell of the book. I'm like, bleh. That means you just want to go, look, I can read. Look at all my books. Look at my shelf. Look, all by my bed. Look at all these books that I can read. Yeah. Get a Kindle. Yeah. Anyone who really loves reading has a Kindle.
Oh, no, the ones who I love. Oh, I love the smell of a book. Yes, mate, you've put what? You smelt War and Peace, have you? I fucking read it, you wanker. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And by searching thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea, you can access a special offer just for you. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.